One verse? What is going on here? This is going deeper. Associate pastor again. Look at him just throwing up one verse. I knew it. Hey, everyone. My name's Mike. I am the associate pastor here. Glad to be with you here this evening. Christmas is just around the corner, right? I was talking to Ronnie. Did I hear that like Ryan Gilliam got like a applause for shopping? I was walking in here like he shopped, and then I was like, "Wow, good for Ryan! All right, man, that's you all are encouraging. That's what that tells me. All right. Speaking of presents, I did want you to know we are doing the Project Christmas Cheer, which we do every year. That's when we help the area nursing homes by getting presents for the residents. Usually, they're just $10 to $15. If you're interested in helping with that. There are envelopes right out on the second black table. When you leave tonight, you can pick up an envelope. It's got a couple items on it. You go to the store, you pick it up, you bring it back here wrapped, and then we'll deliver them. It's a cool way to help, especially if you got little kiddos to keep them to help teach them how to give. And also, it's just a cheap way to give if you can only have so much to give during this holiday season. All right. We're about to get into this series called Flash of Light, and I am really excited about it. It's about how God shines his light in our hearts and in our lives. And we're going to get into that scripture we talked about in a few minutes. But I also want you to know this. I'm going to share just tonight quite a bit about my story, about my life. Now, I don't do that much because I'm pretty convinced it would bore you, okay, if I did that. And I've been told that by other preachers, too, that you don't want to share too much about, not just me, I'm sure that's true, too, but just not too much about your life. But a couple weeks ago, I was sitting down with someone, and they asked me about my story in our community, and they said, "I didn't know that." Well, I said, "I don't talk about it too much. I talked about it once it unstuck, once when I first got here." And then this week, someone said, "Yeah, I think some people want to hear a little bit about your story." So I'm going to use my story tonight to kind of help illustrate where we're at in this scripture and where we're at in this series. So if you're asking why, that's why I'm doing it, and it may be encouraging to you as well. So let me start off. When I was just a little child, when I was, you know, very young, I had a lot of emotional pain that started to happen within my life. There's a lot of reasons. I won't get into all the details, but I will tell you, my dad was out of the picture before I was even born. And if you know psychology, if you have any study with that, you call that abandonment a lot of times. And sometimes you think, well, if something like that happens, maybe everything will be okay. It's better, I've heard some people say, well, it's better to have that than have a bad father. And, you know, I think each has its issues. But a lot of times people who go through abandonment kind of have what you call a silent pain, an unspoken pain. And so I kind of had that growing up. I didn't even know it. Like, if you were to ask me about it, I mean, I was totally oblivious. I didn't even realize what was happening until much later. So that was one thing. Then I had a stepfather who was really nice, charismatic half the time, and the other time he was, you know, emotionally abusive, mentally abusive, and physically abusive, okay? So I'm just setting the stage. We'll get happy here in a little while, all right? But that's kind of what I was brought up in from the littlest of ages, and then that kind of ended with the stepfather thing at about 10 years old. Well, that's going to affect anyone, right? Well, with my personality type, I don't know if I could say I'm a deep thinker because that, I think, involves some type of high intelligence. I'm not saying anything like that. But I do like to think, and I've always been like that. I remember my grandparents, my mom saying that even as a child, that sometimes I would just kind of look and experience things and not say a lot. And I can be like that a lot to this day. If you get around me, just outside of kind of Sunday church, you'll see that in me. So I really think I started taking all this stuff in, really started taking it in, but didn't know how to articulate it, didn't have the words to do that. I grew up, my grandparents took me to church a lot, my mom took me to church as well, and so I would hear about Jesus. I'd hear about this Jesus, and if you would ask me, do I believe in Jesus, I would have said, yeah, I believe in Jesus. Did I pray? I did pray, childhood. But then I remember preachers from the pulpit, hello, which is funny, would come and say, you know, God loves you, God loves you. And I just remember internally processing like God's love is over here and I'm over here, the chasm. I mean, I just would always think like that. I wouldn't be able to say it, but I would think like that. Well, I had one of those church camp things that maybe many of you have or many of you know about. When I was in junior high, I went with a youth group from a small Assemblies of God church to a church camp in Carlinville, okay? Lake Williamson, I believe, is what it's called. Anyone been out to Lake Williamson before? Yeah, they've been doing incredible ministry for years. Well, we went out there, and I was like, I turned into like the youth group clown. Was anyone a youth group clown or class clown here? No one wants to admit? Oh, yeah, we got a couple. There we go. Yeah, there we go. We got one right now. And I was just like that. Definitely not talking about faith at that time. Then, you know, girls become more interesting and just kind of being an individual. 13, 14. Well, we go to this camp, and it's clear that there's a movement going on at this camp. And, you know, who knows? In my mind, the counselors were amazed by what was happening. It seemed like God was doing something very special. And they had like 5, 6, 7 times as many people in this room, in that sanctuary. I mean, it was jam-packed. It was mostly kids, but adults too. And kids were just running to the altar and giving their lives to Christ. And I could not, however much I tried, I could not turn into Goof Troop Mike. You know, I could not, like, something was capturing me. And that was the Holy Spirit. It was grabbing my heart. I mean, it was clear. It wasn't just like, maybe. It was grabbing my heart, and I couldn't even talk. I still, because of that pain I kind of talked about, I couldn't. Even if, I'm telling you, if the perfect man or woman would have came to me and said, is this the perfect question to ask me about my faith? I just was like closed down on the inside. And so I kind of, this was like 5 days worth of like every time you go to evening worship and it's just like, I was just miserable. Well, finally, towards the end of that week, I come down to the altar with everyone else. But people have been up the altar for like 40 minutes, you know what I mean? And then I'm just kind of like, yeah, let me go up there. And I'm just kind of experiencing it. You know what I mean? I wasn't really like, yeah, I'm making any kind of commitment here. So I went up there and I'm like praying, like, God, I just don't understand how you're reaching out to me. I don't know how to reach out to you. And I just didn't know. And then, of all things, the preacher starts saying something like, I feel like we need to have a call for people to go into full-time ministry. So then, I swear, the Holy Spirit starts fluttering me even more. And I'm like, what is going on here? I can't even get this Jesus thing down. How in the world could I even be called to full-time ministry? And like, I don't have preachers really in my family. I guess there are some, but I didn't know them growing up. But I didn't know what to do. And the last thing I said to God was like, I was convinced he was real. I was convinced he was wanting me to step out, and I couldn't do it. And I said, I'll follow you after high school. Those are my finals. I just didn't know what else to do. So, you know, that probably didn't go well, as that's where I'm going to go next. But one interesting thing that we do need to note, when we came back to the small church, they wanted us to go up front and talk about how God had changed your life. They wanted the youth to come up to the front, you know, like 5 of the 13 youth that went, come up to the front at the local church and talk about how God had changed your life. And, like, I always had a respect for God. My grandparents were Baptist, okay? So I always had a respect for God, and I didn't really want to mess with that kind of stuff. I had the fear of God, a fear of my grandparents in me or something. But for some reason, I got grabbed with these 5 other kids, 3 other kids, whatever it was, and I was going to go up front, and I was going to be like, oh yeah, God changed my life and all this. So I go to the pulpit, I'm the last person, and you know what I do? Anyone have a guess what I do when I get up there? Preaching would be good. That's a good. Anyone else? Cried. I sobbed for 5 minutes. No one had seen me cry before. I just sobbed. You know, Holy Spirit trying to heal, trying to help me on my journey. And but still, even after that, you know, people didn't know what to do with me. I'd been such a goof troop and youth group all the time. And even if, like, someone's kind of said something to me, I would just kind of brush it off. And that's where it left. Then I get into high school, and all that pain starts coming out. You know, it comes out the way it comes out with lots of stuff. Really searching for identity, wanting to explore. Plus, I'm a young man. So all that stuff starts coming off. But here's what I can tell you. I was really on a bad path. And without getting into a whole lot of details, I was on a really bad path. And I'm not just saying, you know, there's some kids you're like, all right, they'll get it. I was one of those kids where I may not have been the extreme, but I was somewhere towards the extreme where it didn't look like I would ever, ever get it. Well, something happened the summer before my senior year of high school. There was a pastor in town who basically wanted to have a conversation with me. Didn't talk about Jesus or faith or nothing. And it had been like 3 or 4 years about at that time since I've been in any of the church scene. So he just invites me to church, not church, well, it was the church building, but not to church to get worship. He just wanted to talk with me. Say, hey, let's have a conversation. So I went and talked with him, and he was so cool, and we were having fun, and he had great stories for like, it felt like 2 hours. It was a long time. And then I couldn't believe it. Out of nowhere, he asked me, how are you and Jesus doing? And I honestly felt like I was right back to that moment from a few years earlier when I was in junior high. And I kind of tried to spit out the gospel the best I understood it. Make a long story short, I gave my life to Christ. And what was so cool about it is that we're in a, you know, Methodist pastor's office in the middle of a Sunday afternoon. He's like, I feel like this is a holy moment. Let's get on our knees. So we get on our knees, and I give my life to Jesus. And he leads me in what you may know, the sinner's prayer. And I get up, and I was pretty sure I would start floating or something like after something like that. But that didn't happen. But what did happen, and I don't know, some of you, I'm just going to tell you what happened. After that, he said, you know, I'm having a vision right now. Well, I didn't really. I actually kind of knew what that meant because I'd been in a charismatic tradition. You know what I mean? So that wasn't like way out for me. I was in a charismatic tradition. He said, I see you having an emotional moment in front of a church. And I immediately went back to that time at that Assembly of God church when, of all things, and this is the one thing I didn't say, I told, whenever I was up there at the pulpit, I said, I feel called to ministry. That's the only thing I said. So, with that being said, that's kind of where my journey really took off, and I started being discipled. That's why you'll hear me talk a lot about discipleship, how I started to learn about God in my life. And I think why I'm starting this series off in this way, and especially for tonight, is that when I was in junior high, I was starting to kind of get these flashes of the Holy Spirit. I was getting these flashes that God was drawing me to himself, but I didn't respond, okay? Then God gives me some more grace and mercy that I didn't deserve right before I'm turn a senior in high school, and there's another flash from the Holy Spirit, God drawing me in. And finally, by the grace of God, with help and with some more humility, I responded. I think God is always kind of flashing his light and his goodness to you and me. I think God is always inviting us in to grow closer to him. And I obviously think that the answer for this life comes through Jesus and how we respond to God. So I'm hoping we can kind of get into this God's light, God flashes of light series. We can learn a few things from it together. I'm hoping that, first of all, we can think about Jesus coming to the earth as God's light. And we'll talk more about that in a little while. Also, that we can see God's light breaking into our lives. Like I said, that's why I'm talking about these experiences. God's light is always trying to break into your and mine's lives. I also think that as we do this and we become thankful for what God's doing, I think that will get us ready for Christmas. All right, here's what I have first. I have a hypothesis for us. I'm convinced that we do not access God's light like we should. I'm convinced that we do not access God's light like we should. Why? Because a lot of times we're simply out of sync with God's timing. You know, if you want to see daylight and you only go out at night, you're never going to see daylight, right? If you want to see daylight, you have to go out at the right time. And I had something kind of funny happen a week or so ago. I come here sometimes early in the morning, and when I do, I'll go on a run in the gym. I'll come here early and I'll do a run. No one's here. Everything is shut down. It's totally dark, right? And so I'll come through the office doors and I'll go over to the gym, and I don't want to turn on all the lights around here. So what do? Is I pull out my phone and I turn on my flashlight. That's how I get around, you know? I always think security, if they ever look at the videos, is going to look pretty funny. But this is how I get around the church. Well, I went on a run that morning, and I usually don't stop by my office because I don't want to get into work. I kind of want to do that, go home, and then come back for work. But I went ahead and stopped in my office because I was going to pick up something. So I stopped in my office after the run, And then I saw, beside the thing I wanted to pick up, I saw something else on my desk that I was like, oh, I need to work on that real quick. So I started doing some work. And then when I got done with that, after a few minutes, I closed the door. And it's funny what can happen in your mind after in 1 second. I closed the door, and guess what? It was dark. And I was like, oh, it's really dark here. And that surprised me for like half a second. Then I saw something that really freaked me out for the other half a second. I saw like a light moving in the reflection of the glass in front of me. And I wasn't quite sure what to do. I kind of got scared, as silly as that sounds. And then I realized something. You know what it was? It was the light in my pocket. So that's all it was the whole time. And I think, you know, I knew I was going to pull out my light and I was going to get myself out of there. I originally planned in to just be in my office for just 1 second. Because something else was on my mind, I forgot I had that light on in my pocket. And I think there's things that distract us from God. I think there's stuff that we go through that gets us on another path, and we forget about God's light in our lives. With this timing, I want to say two things. First of all, with God's light, with these flashes of light, God always has a timing of that's personified in Christmas. Here's what I'm trying to say. There was a time when Jesus Christ came to the earth, and it was the right time, okay? Here's two scriptures, first out of Romans, then out of Galatians. First in Romans, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died. And in Galatians, but when the time had fully come, God has sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law. There is a God timing that happens with things. Jesus Christ, when he came to the earth, was at a special time in history that God had in for history for us and for the whole world. If we're going to be able to respond when God flashes his light in our lives, I think we have to have a clear understanding of God's timing. Now, this is something that Shane talks about. I've heard him talk about a few times. It's about the different types of time. We have Chronos and Kairos. Jane talks about that a lot, doesn't he? Now, Chronos is what we consider, sequential time, like chronological time, linear time, measurable time, a calendar, a clock. It's what we kind of base our whole lives off of. I was in Africa a couple years ago, and the people started, we were trying to get out of there on a flight, and everyone on the flight was just kind of taking everyone that we were waiting for on the desk to get us on our flight were kind of taking their time. And then one of my African colleagues there said to me, no, this is how we look at time. We're a little bit slower over here. But then everyone in our group was starting to totally freak out. People see time differently. Now, the most difficult part is really for us, there is Chronos, like I said, that's difficult. But Kairos is difficult because it is the right time. It's because we have to depend on God for this timing. Kairos is also a different way to see it, kind of outside the biblical text, is when like an artist is painting. When they're doing something they love, they absolutely love, and it seems like that time just kind of melts away. Or maybe you think about when there's something that you love to do where time melts away. That's close to Kairos time. But there is a waiting involved with Kairos, not a waiting that is in action, a waiting that says, God, I'm waiting on your time. And that takes us to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, our scripture for today. Now, it says, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. Now, there's kind of two things going on in the scripture. It's kind of a couplet here when it says basically the same thing twice. But here's what we need to know. Darkness is being described, and one of the things about Hebrew, because the language doesn't have a whole lot of words, is that darkness can mean a whole lot of things. So when we're in this context, darkness can mean evil, like people who are walking in evil actions, people who are walking in a way that's not pleasing the Lord. But here's what this other part of darkness and kind of the channel I want to go down today is. It's weariness. weariness. The people who were represented in this biblical context were walking in darkness because they felt like they were weary from being so far away from their homes for so long. They were far from the capital and the temple. They had few religious privileges, and they were being intermingled with pagans who were uncultivated in manners and language. They just were not at home anymore, and they wanted to be there. They wanted to get to Jerusalem. They had been waiting so long, and they had grown so weary, they were waiting for a kairos moment to happen. Now, when we look at this, there's a double fulfillment taking place, meaning that God is giving the people of this time that I'm talking about who don't have a home, he's giving them some hope in that time period. But not only that, he's talking about something else, a future hope as well. And that's going to be a Jesus coming close to 700 years later. But double fulfillment, I think, is really cool. If you listened, Shane said on Sunday that double fulfillment is like a double ring. And I thought that was so cool because it's speaking, the Holy Spirit is coming in a word at one time, but it's also coming at a word at a different time. My wife and I got new cell phones last year. And Val, are you here? You here somewhere? I think my wife's here. Oh, there she is. Yeah. And I wasn't quite sure. She went to Best Buy. We got new cell phones. And whenever she brought them back, our like accounts were interlinked. So whenever someone would text us, it would go straight to both of our phones. Has that ever happened to you before? Or whenever someone called us, it goes straight to both of our phones. And it made me think a little bit of this idea of double fulfillment prophetically. It's that God sends out something, and at one place at one time, it's going to a person, if you will, a group of people, and then the same with that same word, it's going to a different group of people. Here's what I really want to focus on with this part of the scripture. When it says, for those who live in the land of deep darkness, a light will shine. The Hebrew is showing us something really incredible here. And here's what it is. It's saying that in the midst of their darkness and in the midst of their weariness, that light is going to come like a flash. And if you look at the NIV, it actually says that a new dawn, a light has dawned. My story in Rantoul was coming out of a kairos moment. Here's what I didn't tell you about all the details about that. Whenever I started to get my spiritual kind of compass, and whenever God started to bring healing to me, I was caught up in this kairos moment, a movement of God for these 3 years between 18 and 21. And here's what I mean. There would be me and a group of guys and girls from the church, and we would walk around town, and people would come to Christ all the time. We'd have faith conversations when we go to McDonald's, when we would go to Monocle's, when we go to Walmart, when we walk down the road. It was like there would be a gospel conversation would happen. It'd be like God would bring someone in our path, and whatever, maybe it was a word of encouragement, but it happened all of the time, and it was absolutely incredible going through it over those 3 years. And again, like I told you about my story, I went from this, you know, young man who was going through so much. Then God starts to heal me. I get a little bit of the Holy Spirit. I get to be in a better environment. Everything is going so much better in my life. I'm caught up in this movement. So I really start to get like the most emotionally high I've ever been in my life, as you can imagine, going through that. So what does that have to do with the kairos moment? This. It started to end. It started to end. And I didn't know what to do with that. I really initially thought in my mind, again, someone who just thinks and probably never said this out loud, that I would just jump from one mountaintop to the next mountaintop. But I was wrong. I was wrong. There's obviously just some maturity I needed as a young man, but also as God was preparing me. And I started to be invited into what I'm going to call a season of pruning. A season of pruning that I did not want to go through whatsoever. I was in that dark place. I went to a light place. And then it was like in this new season, God said, I need to put some new light in your life. But what I felt God calling me to felt like a very weary path. That's the only way I could explain it. It felt like the fun was about to end. Okay? And I'm going to tell you more about that for a minute. But let me kind of help contextualize this pruning aspect that I'm saying. It comes from Jesus in John 15, 1 and 2. Do we have that one? Yeah. This is Jesus talking to the disciples. He says that, this is him. I'm the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that what? Doesn't produce fruit. Hello. And he prunes the branches. He what? He prunes the branches that do bear fruit. So why? So they will produce even more. There's a pruning aspect in our discipleship that God calls us to. And God did a little bit of that with me in that Kairos moment, or in the Kairos, yeah. But then coming out of that, God says, dude, I got to do a whole new work in you. Now, here's what's interesting about the first century kind of vine dresser and growing grapes. A vine would be cultivated, planted, and left to grow for 3 years without being allowed to bear fruit. Okay, let me say that again. A vine would be cultivated, planted, and left to grow for 3 years without bearing fruit. Every time it naturally started to bear fruit, guess what they would do? They would cut it back. But after the third year, they would finally allow the grapes to grow. Why do they have this type of process? It's this. Because by the third year, the branches were strong enough to support the weight of the grapes without breaking. That's heavy, right? It takes time. So what am I saying when I invite you into my story this evening? Well, I was saying that God was inviting me into a time of growth and a time of maturity so that I could produce fruit. But you know, I'm just testimony night. I did not like it. I did not understand it. And it was a real struggle for me. So let me tell you, here we go. What was the real struggle, Mike? What did you think God was calling you to do instead of going from mountaintop to mountaintop? I felt like God was calling me to be a United Methodist minister. And that sounded awful to me. That did not sound like the charismatic Kairos movements of God that I wanted to be in. I didn't want to have to do anything of it. And the thought of it, here it is. The thought of it made me weary. The thought of it made me weary, people of God. The thought of it. It made me weary. And then you think, well, come on, buck up, dude. A couple years. I'm 21, first of all. Remember, 21-year-old me. And did you know? I knew it was going to be like a 13-year path ahead. No, just fully ordained 2 years ago, right? This was a maturity moment for me. I had to pray. I had to fast. I had to grow up. I had to search the scriptures. I had to find strength. But that's what God was doing, wasn't he? He was strengthening me. So I say to the Lord, okay, I do it. I'll do it. And I thought maybe that would be lifted and maybe I would feel all this great stuff again. I didn't. I was still weary again. Until something happened. I saw a Star Wars movie. What? I'm being serious. Let me show you this picture here. This is a terrible picture. Look at the quality. Look at the quality of this. I'm going to tell you why it's like this. I actually had this picture from years ago and like, what would it be, 13 years ago. And I had it, like, remember when you actually used to have pictures? I don't even know what those are called. Photos? I don't even know. Like, it's not even in my vocabulary. So I took a picture of it with my cell phone, like, 5 years ago. My thumb was actually in it over here, and then I cut it so you guys could see it tonight. So this is actually outside of Wilmore, Kentucky. This is me. I actually got a little beard going here. Look at that. Yeah, that's awesome. This is my friend TJ. This is my friend Matt Quinn. And Matt Quinn's apartment is up here. He had a beautiful apartment right above the Kentucky River. I used to go hiking with these guys before I was married. And we had some good time. This picture isn't from the time I'm about to tell you, but it was in the same year. me and actually Valerie, who was my girlfriend at the time, went to visit Matt and his wife, Melissa, down in Kentucky. And we decided to go to a movie together. This is me in the midst of me struggling with this call, okay? Well, Matt, I didn't even like Star Wars. Like, I saw the first one, but I didn't even like it. Matt decides for us to go see Star Wars. And so we went into Lexington, Kentucky, and I didn't really know a lot about cities. Like, my 20s and into my 30s, I visited a lot more cities. But then, I didn't know. So I was so excited to go to Lexington, and I didn't realize it was a small city. And we're going to go to a movie theater. I went to Tulsa a couple years earlier, and the movie theater there sat like as many people in our sanctuary we have. So I was like so fired up to go there. And we went to this movie theater. I kind of feared for my life wherever he took me, like behind a back alley. I was like scared to death, so it wasn't like this glamorous experience I thought it'd be. But he took me to this Star Wars movie. And it was episode 3, if any of you all know that. But it's the time where you see Anakin go from Anakin to Darth Vader. He goes from Anakin to Darth Vader. And if you know the story, it's funny. God can use anything. If you know the story, Anakin, the prequels talk about Darth Vader when he's just a kid and how he's this really nice, talented kind of kid, and he wants to be a Jedi. What is a Jedi? I don't really know what it is. But he wanted to be one, and he had the gifts and graces to do it, and he seems to be acing every test and quiz, and he's doing it at such a young age. And but he really thinks he should be a Jedi, and they won't let him do it. And his mentor is telling him, you need to slow down, your time will come. The Jedi Council is telling him, you need to slow down, your time will come. But he keeps giving these excuses about if he was just a Jedi, he would do these good things. If he was just a Jedi, then, you know, all this stuff would come together. But really, it wasn't about him going out and serving. What was it about? Him. It was all about him. And what happens in that movie is he finally just forces his hand, he forces everyone's hand, he becomes a Jedi. Well, he tries to become a Jedi. He thinks everyone's in his way, and he goes out, and he basically implodes. And that was the day, my friends, where John 15 came to life for me. I started to understand if I did not allow the Holy Spirit to start to prune me, if I did not allow the Holy Spirit to start to strengthen my branches, then the whatever fruit I had in life or in ministry, it would just break. I would break. I needed to leave my comfort zone in order to grow, even if I worried about the weariness, if it would overwhelm me. That, for me, people of God, is another example of a flash of light in my life. That's the third flash of light, where God flashes some hope. It wasn't the movie. God can use a rock, y'all. It doesn't have anything to do with the movie. I've been in prayer. I've been in fasting. I've been in the Word. But God did something to make it click. When God flashes his light in your life, it's got hope. He's just trying to give us hope. So I want to give us now some tangible ways where we can kind of access and think about that light. It's going to come from James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. Let's look at the scripture together. And this really helped me. This kind of stuff really helped me. If you're wondering what did Mike study when he was going through this, this is the kind of stuff I study. Dear brothers and sisters, guess what? That's you and me. When trouble of any kind comes your way, I love that. What type of trouble? Just this little financial difficulty, just when this person gets on my nerves? Who is it? What is it? It's when trouble of any kind comes your way. I think that's absolutely awesome. This is such a wide open scripture. What does it say to do? Consider it an opportunity for great joy. Well, that doesn't make any sense at all. What's going on here? Here, for you know that when your faith is tested, what? Your endurance has a chance to grow. When your faith is tested, connected with the trouble that comes your way, your endurance has a chance to grow. Go to the next. Do we have more there? We don't. Okay. Oh, there it is. So let it grow. For when your endurance is what? Fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Here is what the scripture says to us. As we embrace, and I'm going to open this up just a little bit more and then we'll be done. As we embrace what God is coming our way, what trouble brings comes our way, and we find this joy in the Lord, God will make us complete needing nothing. It's not about going from mountaintop to mountaintop or valley to valley. It's embracing what God has for us and considering it nothing but joy. And if we do that, we will get to the future that God has for us. Our children will get to the future that God has for them. It's a vision of the Spirit, not a vision of the flesh. It's saying, God, I trust in you. But my goodness, it's hard. And guess what? We can get weary. And every once in a while, this God of the universe invites us to do something that we didn't really want to do. But can I tell you, that's such an awesome opportunity to walk by faith. That's such an awesome opportunity to please him. That's such an awesome opportunity to see his flashes of light in your life. Okay, I'll stop talking here in just a minute, okay? We're going to go to kind of three things that I'm going to call working through weariness. So if you're feeling weary right now, if you're like, how do I kind of work through that weariness? I'm going to give you three tips and we're going to be done, okay? Here's what we need to know. With God, nothing is wasted. With God, nothing is wasted. There is a direct relation when trouble comes our way and being prepared for something that God has for us. I was talking with someone yesterday, and they keep talking about how they want everything that God has for them, but they're like, they're going through so much stress right now, and they don't like it. And I started sharing James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3 with them, because I was thinking, here's what I started thinking. The stress you're going through right now is preparing you for what's next. The stress you're going through right now is preparing you for what's coming tomorrow. I know it doesn't make sense. It doesn't always correlate. I can't tell you, like, when I went on this path, y'all, it was not solved. I'd sit in classes and I think, Lord, how is this connecting for what you want to do? But I had to believe. And you know what I found out when I started looking at the scripture? If nothing God does is wasted, there's a lesson for me in that class, whether I know it or not. Whether the curriculum fully makes sense or not, there's a lesson for me this day. So you know what I did? I started studying a little bit harder. You know what I did? I started praying my ears would be open a little bit more. You know what I did? I started looking at my classmates. How do they interact? I started listening to my teacher and their teaching style. I was thinking, God, I know nothing you do is wasted, so it may not make sense to me, but I know that something you're doing is for eternity. Something is doing for your people. I don't see who, God, but I'm going to stay with it. Nothing with our God is wasted. I don't care how bored you are. It may be boring. You may need to move on, but nothing is wasted. All right. B, two, find joy. Now, it talked about this idea about consider it nothing but joy, which seems absolutely crazy. How can you find joy when you're going through trouble? Come on. Well, you don't find joy in the trouble. You don't find joy in the trouble. I was going to start to sing a song, but I don't. I'm not going to. Hopefully that wasn't the Holy Spirit, because I can't sing. Don't do it to me, Lord. Okay. Hopefully that was just my... I'm going to find joy. How do you find joy? You find it in God's goodness. You find it in the Lord's goodness. Okay? If you're really weary, I love, the acronym ACTS for prayer, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. If you're really weary, you need to stay in adoration type prayer for a while. Adoration just says it's not about me, it's not what I'm getting, it's not what's going on over there, it's just that you're good, God. If you can find, really, sincerely, if you can find a worship song that just glorifies the Lord, that's a good song to sing. Some worship, and you can talk to Don. Some worship is different, where we're very much engaged our thankfulness and about what God has done in our life. But if you're weary, you got to find a song that just lifts up the name of Jesus. You got to find a song that just gives praise to his name so you can forget what you're going through and you can just go up with him and say, thank you, God, because when you do that, it's kind of like Psalm 40. He'll put your feet on solid ground. He'll pull you up and set you on some solid ground, people of God. You got to find the joy. It's there. Soak in God's goodness. Finally, we got to continue to be on the lookout for a flash of light. Be on the lookout for how God is reaching out to you. You know, I was so young, and it's hard to say when you're a child, you know, I should have reached out to God. I was going through so much. But as we grow and we're adults, if God's reaching out to you, if you feel like there's just this flash, if you feel like the dawn has just come in, like a new day's dawn, like God is reaching out to you, hold on to that. Hold on to God, because he's reaching to you and giving you hope. When do we best see these flashes of light? We best see this light when we're in some type of dark situation. If you're walking in the midst of sin, the easiest way to see God's forgiveness is when you're in that. It's a flash of light. If you're feeling broken beyond repair, that's the perfect position to see God's healing touch. If you're unsure where your next direction should be, that's a great place to see God's flash of light of his guidance in your life. If you're feeling weary, that's a great time to let you know that God is encouraging you. As we prepare for this baby Jesus, as we celebrate, as we get ready, I want you to think about the importance of his light coming to this world. I want you to be on the lookout for how God is flashing his light to you every day. If you're feeling weary, let me tell you something, church, you're going to get through it, he is able. You're going to get through it. If these holiday times are already getting tough for you, you're going to get through it. I can tell you, it may not be perfect, but I know you're going to get through it. Find joy. Know that nothing is wasted with our God. And when you do that, this Christmas season, you're going to have everything you need.